This evening, our young couple have started a journey. And we are here as witnesses. But above all, you are here in our midst. So as we look into the word, Father, I pray that you would speak to us. Maybe the couple is too excited to hear, but there is somebody here who needs to hear from you. Speak to us. For you have the words of life. For the entrance of your word. And you came to give us life. Speak to us, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I begin the message which I have for tonight, especially for Eric and Joanna, if they are able to hear anything, first let me exalt the word of God, not the man of God, but the word of God. We respect the men of God in our midst, but we'll exalt the word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens." Psalm 138 and verse 2, scripture says, "You have exalted your word above all your name." Matthew 5 and verse 18, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall not nowise pass from the law till all is fulfilled." This is the word on which we stand. This is the word which God has exalted even above his own name. Therefore we revere and honor his word. So everything I speak today, I bring out from the word today, I want to base it on God's word alone. So this evening, I want you all to turn your hearts and mind, and especially Eric and Joanna, to the word of God. This is one of the most important days of your life. You're starting a new journey. What does God have to say in opposition to many opinions of man? The world has so many opinions about marriage. But what does God have to say about marriage? See, the world has so much to say about marriage, that's why there are so many jokes about marriage. A Catholic priest, an Anglican priest, and a Jewish rabbi were sitting together and talking. And somebody asked a simple question. When does life begin? The Catholic priest immediately said, at conception. The Anglican priest said, when the child is born. The rabbi thought for a while and said, life begins when the children are married and all the bills are paid. So James and Anjana, your life begins today. Because this is your only son. In India, of course, we have so many sayings or limericks about marriage. Shadi ki pehle, maine pyar kiya. Shadi ki baad, maine pyar kyun kiya. But let's leave aside what the world has to say. Let's look at what God has to say. And almost everything I base tonight will be based on the first three chapters of the Bible. For when Jesus was questioned about marriage, he said it was not so in the beginning. So let us go to the beginning. One of the first words recorded in the Bible concerning man is what God says. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That defines everything, or that should define everything in our life. We were created in God's image and his likeness. That's why often as possible, we turn to his word to find meaning and purpose for everything that happens in life, above all in marriage. There are a lot of people in the world who are confused and depressed because they do not know who they are, what they were created for, what their purpose was or is. Marriage is not man's invention. It is God's design. The first wedding was not conducted by man. It was conducted by God. The first wedding was not in a hall. It was in a pristine, beautiful garden. And the first lady, walked on the arms of the Heavenly Father. And when Adam opened his eyes, all he could say was, wow, man, which we say woman. First wedding was by God. The first words, one of the first words spoken by God to man is the command. Thou shalt not eat of this particular tree. The day you do, you will die. So man has to learn to obey the voice of God. For if we obey, disobey, loss, destruction, death will come. Eric and Joanna, all the days of your life, meditate on God's word. Hear his voice. We have a living God, unlike idols. Our God speaks. Obey his voice. And he said in Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good, the best of the land. When we come to the next thing that God speaks, which is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it is God who says, it is not good for man to be alone. From there we understand the first purpose. Always find out what is the first purpose, not the second. The first purpose of marriage. The first purpose of marriage is fellowship. To communicate. God created man, Adam, so that he might worship him. God created Eve for Adam so that they might fellowship with one another. The first things in life is worship and fellowship. These two should define all our lives. Jesus will put it across in another way. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor, your closest neighbor. Eric and Joanna are sitting there. As yourself. There are so many who are married, but are lonely because they cannot fellowship. Because fellowship is the heart of life. Man was created for fellowship with God and with one another. Scripture records that in the cool of the evening, God came searching for man. But sin had come in and broken fellowship. And Christ came 2,000 years ago to restore that fellowship. So Eric and Joanna, never forget the first purpose of marriage. That you are able to fellowship with one another. Unbroken. All the days of your life. That's the first purpose. God tells, guard your fellowship. God tells to the great apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what? Fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness. What communion has light with darkness? Has believers both of you? If I remember, Eric, I baptized you in 2009 on January 26th. And you, I baptized you on January 26th in 2012. Right? I remember. Okay. Because our baptisms are always on public holidays, so I can remember the date. Okay. So you have fulfilled the first rule of fellowship. You're equally yoked. You're equally yoked. And parents look for brides and bridegrooms. They do not look at the first rule of marriage. There should be an equal yoking of two people who have been imparted the righteousness of God. And you have met the first criteria. You are both righteous in Christ. And you are both light because Christ indwells in both of you. Salvation is a yoke. Marriage is a yoke. I didn't say that. Jesus said, take my yoke upon yourself. But he also said, my yoke is not heavy. It's light. Don't take marriage as heavy. I don't know why he's been going to the gym for the past 3 or 4 years because he was preparing for his marriage and he thought marriage was heavy. It's not. The yoke is light. Only if you learn to pull together and not push against each other. So many marriages, the yoke is heavy. It's because instead of pulling together, they push at each other. So one piece of advice from life I have to tell you, Eric and Joanna, Pray every day. Every day. When you stand before God, you should be able to tell, Lord, all the days you gave me this girl, and all the days you gave me this man, we never broke prayer. I can stand here and confess, all the days I have been married, there's not been a single day that I and my wife have been prayed at least 2 times or 3 times every day. And I want to tell you, that's how you keep your fellowship. Keep your fellowship, because issues will happen. Prayer resolves all those issues. Unbroken fellowship with God and with each other. So keep growing in your fellowship and growing in your worship. The second guideline for marriage is given in the same verse in Genesis 2:18. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate comparable to him, a helper comparable to him. Joanna, you are helpmate. Eric, you are mate. It's not checkmate. It's mate and helpmate. He's the head. You are the body. Inseparable. You complement each other. You don't compete with one another. It's absolutely important. Learn from scripture. Do not learn from culture. In Corinthians 11 and verse 3, scripture says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. We understand this very well in our world system. The headmaster is the head of the masters. The head of the department is the head of all in the department. The head of the government is the head of all who is in the government. But when people come home, they forget what headship is. When they go out, they're very clear who the head is. But headship in this world did not begin in a government. It did not begin in the world. It began in a home when God said, Eric, you are the head, and told Joanna, you are the body. Eric learned headship from Jesus, not anybody else, from Jesus. Jesus was subject to his Father in everything. Therefore, he leads the church from glory to glory. You are called to lead. But every man who does not submit to God ends up becoming a tyrant and a dictator. Jesus is not a dictator. He is a benevolent servant king. He is the one, Eric, you need to imitate. You lead by serving. Eric, submit to God, submit to his word, submit to his spirit, and submit to one another. Adam failed to lead. Eve failed to follow. Leadership failure can result in chaos in homes, in churches, and ultimately the society. So both of you learn to submit to one another, learn to lead, learn to follow. In the same verse in Genesis 2:18, God will say, I will make him a helpmate comparable to him. Eric, you are comparable to Joanna, but you are not same. The whole problem you're having in the world with gender issues is because they think man and woman are the same. No, you are not. You are different. You're not the same. You're comparable, but you are not same. Adam and Eve were made differently by God. Adam was made from the dust. Eve was made from Adam. Adam was made male. Eve was made female. This is the age of gender confusion. Eric and Joanna value and cherish your God-made differences. Eric, always be a man. Be masculine. Joanna, be a woman. Means be feminine. Don't walk around in the streets where people are not sure what gender you are. Be as God made you. Be masculine, be feminine, because he made you comparable. If we go away from God's ordained patterns, men become feminine, women become masculine, and the ultimate result in the society is differences get blurred, and we will have a generation that is gender confused. And that will ultimately start celebrating homosexuality. God does not celebrate homosexuality. He said it is an abomination. You see, if you take Genesis 1 away, this entire system will collapse, because everything man is meant to be is there in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. That's how God made us. Stick to his pattern. You will live long in the land that God will give you. Therefore, learn from scripture, not from culture. You complement each other. Say compliment. Look at Eric and say, you compliment me. And I will compliment you. Not compete, okay? Compliment. That's God's design for marriage. Eric, Joanna, if you know him, he eats with a knife and a fork. Okay? Try. Okay. If you use a knife and a fork, you need to learn. You wouldn't believe where I learned how to use a knife and a fork. Many years as a young schoolboy, I was sitting in the first class of the restaurant in Howrah station, and I saw a set of coolies coming in and order coffee and omelette, and I saw how well they were using, and I was ashamed. And I decided I'm going to go home and learn how to use a knife and a fork. You see, if you use a knife and a fork properly, it really helps you to enjoy your meal. A husband and a wife is like a knife and a fork. But sometimes they forget what it is for. The husband becomes like a knife and starts cutting the fork. The wife forgets what she is about and starts poking the husband. That's not how you are meant to be. You have to deal life with a knife and a fork and not each other. Okay? Okay. And when he gets very animated in his conversation on the dinner table, tell Eric, please put that knife and fork down. Work together, not work against each other. Then of course comes the most painful part of marriage, that is Genesis 2:24. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. For this purpose, man shall leave. That can happen only after leaving. And it started officially today. Joanna, you walk down on the arm of one man today, but you will leave on the arm of this man. The woman leaves, everybody knows. Sarah left, never went back. Rebecca left, never went back. Rachel and Leah left, they never went back. They never went back. You will of course have opportunities to go back, but the umbilical cord is cut. Everybody understands it. But the problem is not there. The problem is scripture doesn't talk about the woman. It's accepted the woman lives. Scripture says, therefore a man shall leave. And the basic problem in India is the parents don't let the men leave. But God's ordinance is let the man go, because unless he goes, he cannot start his family. You're starting your family. He started your family. Leave. Eric, you came in the company of family and friends, but today you will leave with her. And parents, it is painful, but it is the will of God. We bring up our children only to release them little by little and then completely one day. Life will never be the same again for all of you, but it is the will of God. For this purpose, man will leave. The closest relationship he had on earth, his father, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, his family, friends, everybody, and cleave to his wife. But for what purpose? The answer, Adam will say, so that they can become one flesh. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, one flesh. Paul will say, this is a mystery, signifying the mystical union of Christ and his church. For this purpose, you are no longer two. God says, you are one. In Malachi 2:15, God says, did he not make them one? Having a remnant of the spirit, but why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. Keep the unity of the spirit. Take the ordinance of Eric seriously, very seriously, because we are living in an age, marriage is the most fragile institution right now. The only way your marriage will be stable is you go back to God's eternal word, which will never pass away, and build your life on that day after day, and it will stand, because heaven and earth will pass away, but not a dot from His word. Understand the ways of God and the purposes of God in your marriage. So man in loving submission to Christ, woman in loving submission to her husband, and you will have godly children. Marriage is a very, very serious affair. That's why God demands headship and loving relationship. Because if you refuse headship, I'm telling you, Joanna, from scripture, as a woman, if you refuse headship, refuse to let him lead you. Scripture warns, when a woman leads, her children will become oppressors. In the book of Isaiah, scripture will say in 3:2, children become oppressors when women lead. And we will see children are oppressors around the world because women have taken the role of leading their families, which God says you cannot. But you need to be loving and kind, Eric. Okay? So marriage is a very, very serious affair. You will not take it lightly. You do it at your own peril. Because oneness is the goal. Because that's the picture of the triune God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. That was Jesus' prayer on earth, that we may be one, even as they, the Godhead, is one. And it begins in the family and not in the church. When those families that are one come into the church, there's incredible power released in the church. But remember, oneness is a virtue only in God. Outside of God, oneness is not a virtue. People can be united in rebellion. Adam and Eve were united in their rebellion. After the flood, mankind was united in their opposition to God. Ananias and Sapphira were one in their deception. Eric and Joanna, you are not striving for oneness sake. You are striving for oneness for God's sake. Because God has said a threefold cord cannot be broken. Cannot. Even in church, it's the unity of faith, unity in truth, unity in love. That's why the command is given to men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And to women, submit your husband in all things as unto Christ. That is the reason for oneness. The foundation of your unity is and must always be Christ. So remember, you were created in the likeness of God. So imitate Christ in your marriage. Mate and helpmate. Submit to Christ. Submit to one another. Lead and follow. Cherish your God-ordained differences. Follow scripture, not culture. Leave, cleave, become one in Christ. That is the goal. Therefore, communicate every day. Be willing to sacrifice and keep life simple. God is with you. God is for you. Lift this word in your life above every opinion of man. You can live victoriously. For it is the word that became flesh that overcame sin, overcame the world, and overcame the devil. So can you both in Christ. It's a huge step you both have taken. But remember, you are not alone in this. For marriage is God's design, and He is in this with you. The scripture says three things will last forever. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, scripture says faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is love. Hold on to these three as you begin your journey. Make your marriage a wonderful journey of faith, hope, and love. Make this marriage a journey of faith. You believe in God and you believe in each other. Have faith in God. Your common faith in Jesus Christ will sustain the marriage through its ups and downs, through thick and thin, the rugged and the smooth. It will enable you to pray through the rough times and to rejoice in the good times. You believe in each other, you protect each other, and continue to grow in the trust for each other. Remember, you did not enter into this marriage because you found a perfect person. Rather, you found the right person. You have to come to love a beautiful mate with his or her, all their flaws and imperfections. You have to come to embrace and enjoy these differences as the Holy Spirit changes you both in the image of His Son. So continue in the same faith. believing that together you can have a better life. To have faith means you are faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to one another. The promise you make today to each other is until death. To be faithful no matter what. A wedding, Eric and Joanna, is for a day. A marriage is for a lifetime. For God is always faithful and true. His love is unchanging and everlasting. Grow in His likeness. Be faithful as He is faithful. Make this journey a journey of hope. We thrive on hope. All these days, you hoped for this day to come. The day is here. And you are married. Hope makes every day a new beginning. You commit your life and all you have to God and to one another because you have hope. You believe, and rightly so, that by God's grace you will be blessed spending the rest of your lives together. You are here because you know you would have a great future being together. That's hope. Hope says marriage is a lifetime union that will only get better and better with time. Marriage should be like wine. The older it gets, the better. Hope does not solve all problems, but it inspires prayer and sets us back on the right track. Hope lives off the power and the grace of God. Let Christ be the shepherd of your life. There is no problem too big God cannot solve. There is no mountain too tall He cannot move. There is no storm so dark that God cannot calm. There is no sorrow so deep God cannot soothe. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I promise you, Eric and Joanna, He will carry you both through life's twists and turns. Lean on Him always, and you will find the strength to overcome. This is not just for them. It's for everybody here who's looking to be married or is married. Make this marriage a journey of love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He loved us first. God grants us the capacity to love. Draw close to Him often, because when you come to know Him, when you come to really know Him, Eric and Joanna, you don't become more spiritual. You actually become more loving. You want to know people who know God and drawing closer to God, you look into their lives, they become more and more loving. Not more and more spiritual, more and more loving. Because He is the fountain of love. Draw close to God, you will become loving to one another and to others. So a happy marriage is more than finding the right mate. It is being the right mate. Love is hard work, but it's worth it. Because there are only two things in scripture says, does not fail. God does not fail. Love never fails. A good marriage, listen carefully now, okay? A good marriage requires falling in love many times with the same person. Over and over again, both with Jesus and with each other. So we are here to pray. Your marriage will take off from here. That your love for each other will be an experience of the love of God. That your home will be blessed. Because God will watch over your home. Eric, watch over your wife. And Joanna, cherish your husband. Honor him. And he will watch over your home. And he will bless your home. When the storms come, as they come to everyone, your home will stand. Because God is with you. God is for you. Have a blessed and a wonderful married life together. God bless you. Thank you, everyone. And I pray for every one of you who are married that you can come back, rebuild. If you have fallen out of love in your marriage, you can fall in love again. Because it's the right person. It's the right person. And if you are single and you are not planning to get married, your heavenly spouse is always waiting. You can fall in love with him over and over and over again. So it's a message for everyone. So this night, as I close the word, may God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit bless you, preserve you, and keep you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and mercy throughout all the days of your life. Let God fill you with His spiritual benediction and grace for His glory. May God grant you peace in the life you live together. And I pray, as you hear His voice and obey His commands, all the promises of God will pursue you and overtake you all the days of your life. And I pray, Father, you would use Eric even more mightily in the days to come as your servant. And Joanna would be that helpmate who would lift up his arms in prayer. And they would be a blessed couple. And many, many would say they are a blessing to them, Lord. So as your servants, we bless them, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.